So I would like to call Pastor Dan to come up and join. So, Pastor Dan, I know there must be a lot of pressure to preach very well. I imagine you must lie awake Saturday nights thinking, I'm a terrible pastor. My message isn't very good. And I have no business speaking on Sunday mornings. Now, Pastor Dan, denial isn't just a river in Egypt.
I guess maybe sometimes I feel that way.
Well, that's what I thought. So look into the mirror with me and repeat after me. Hello, Pastor Dan.
Hello, Pastor Dan.
I don't have to be a good preacher.
I don't have to be a good preacher.
I don't have to take the Holy Spirit's job.
I don't have to take the Holy Spirit's job.
I just have to be the best Pastor Dan that I can be.
I just have to be the best Pastor Dan I can be.
Because I am good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
I think this is my best show ever. I'll see you next week.
I think Jody found the most flighty person she could find. Appreciate Justin's willingness to be a little silly for our sake in this series. And the reason why we're having Justin do this, of course, is to kind of make a point. Because it's a little easy to see this sermon as just a self-affirmation series. But it's really a lot more important than that. And I hope you're willing to kind of go deeper with it. I kind of actually hope this series has been hitting you where you live. And know that it has hit me at times where I live. Because I think our past really does affect us. How we were raised, and of course, the lies that we told ourselves when we were young still affect us today. And it takes a little bit more than self-affirmation to overcome that. To find that freedom we all want in Christ. It takes self-reflection, it takes some thought, it takes some prayer to kind of work through that. So, welcome to our third week of our series, The Lies We Tell Ourselves. So I've been giving you some different ways to process this information. There's a Get More section in the bulletin at the bottom of the sermon notes. And every week I'm giving you a chance to process actually a week ahead. So this is actually the last Sunday you'll get a Get More section in the bulletin. But you can do that. It's a personal section where you can just reflect a little bit ahead of time before the next sermon. Also giving you a chance at the end of the close of service for you to come forward either the front couple pews or the altar and have someone pray for you, because this stuff kind of hits you right where you live and it can hit you right in the heart, and it's nice to have someone to be there with you and pray for you. And finally, again, we have our accountability partner thing after lunch, which you are welcome to stay for. The idea is to meet with someone of the same sex 6 times and to ask them some questions of each other and just encourage one another in your spiritual journey. So again, this sermon series is about 4 zones that we can live in. The I deserve zone, the I am unforgivable zone, the I am less zone, and the I am flourishing. And of course, we all want to get to the I am flourishing zone. That's the zone we most desire. We preached on the I deserve zone. I preached on the unforgivable zone. And eventually, I'm going to preach on the I am less zone. But I want to review it just a little bit. And keep in mind that we all have aspects of each of these in our identity. We all relate, hopefully, to all of them, but hopefully there might be one that sticks out that you tend to fall into most often, most easily. And again, this faulty thinking about ourselves often develops because in our life we are wounded. People hurt us either on purpose or accidentally, and they become barriers to getting us to live in the flourishing zone. So last week I talked about zone 1, I deserve. Zone 1, people tend to blame others for most of the wounds in their lives. People think, I'm entitled to more than this. They're often fighters. There are people who don't want to be wounded anymore, so they go try to control things and they try to be strong. But the problem with these I deserve people is they have a hard time forgiving others. They have a hard time forgiving God. Because their inclination is to hold things against people. And just to throw all that anger and resentment outward. The second week we talked about zone number two. This is the I am unforgivable zone. These people just live with a sense of guilt. They've done things in their past that they just haunt. It still haunts them. Why did they do this? Such a terrible thing? It's guilty of such sin. And they live with that constant guilt in their life. Unable not only to receive either Christ's forgiveness, but they don't forgive themselves. They think they're so deserving of guilt that they don't want to be lifted from it. So finally we come to the I am less zone. And I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to talk about that zone a little bit more personally today because it's the one I've struggled with the most in my life. But first of all, I want to say, you know, some people think this zone, this I am less zone, is just for like Eeyores. You know Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh? You know? Oh, he kind of talks like this. He says things like, oh, they say it's only Eeyore, so it doesn't count. Or, one can't complain. I have my friends. Someone spoke to me only yesterday. Or, sure is a cheerful color. Guess I'll have to get used to it. You don't have to be an Eeyore to feel like you are less. Very bright people have been led to believe they are stupid. Respected people are led to believe they are unlovable. Gifted people led to believe they are failures. And these lies are embedded deep within them. And they don't feel so much bad about what they've done. That was last week's sermon. They feel bad about who they are. Like they are flawed in some way. It makes them think, I am less, and it gives them a deep sense of shame in their life. I think it's common, actually. Now, some people in this zone tend to hide, like the people of I am unforgivable tend to do. But more so, more often, they're out there in public, they're in our churches, they're in our workplaces, but they act a little bit differently. They struggle with depression, envy, comparing themselves to others, unfavorably comparing themselves to others. I remember the line I once heard from, I think it was a sermon, it said, you compare what you don't know about somebody else with what you know about yourself. Right? You assume they don't have the issues, but you know you do. So they struggle with this feeling of they are less. They have low self-esteem. And I realize you can have too much self-esteem, but you can have not enough self-esteem. A lot of Christians like to walk around almost like with pride on their chest, like, oh, I'm so humble. I'm such a terrible sinner. Boy, there's a fine line there before you're not doing much good for God because of the terrible person you've told yourself you are. And it comes out in destructive ways, like to be easily humiliated, to be embarrassed, to have this lack of joy, to feel a sense of disgrace, and to judge others so easily because you don't want to be the only one who feels like they are less. People with shame long to be a new creation, and they are attracted to the gospel that says, like 2 Corinthians 5:17, which says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creature has come, the old has gone, and the new is here. Or Romans 10:11, which says, as Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. Shameful people long for a new identity, but they feel stuck with the one they have. There are many ways a person can feel less than another person. I'm only going to mention two in depth, and I'm going to focus on one of them that I've struggled with. So the two biggest shames I could think of offhand was I am ugly, and I am stupid. These often give birth to I am unlovable, and I am not gifted. So let's talk about I am ugly for a second. There's a lot of pressure in this world to be beautiful. We're attracted to beauty, from beautiful babies to all the way to grown-ups. We see it in commercials. We see it in our magazines. Everywhere there is beautiful people that we compare ourselves to. And men, as much as you may feel this, as much as you may struggle this in your life, for some reason, it is amplified more in women. This pressure to be beautiful. And I get it. We can't all be fashion models. But it is one thing to say, I will never make a cover of a magazine. And quite another to say, I am ugly. Or where does it stop? I am ugly, therefore I am not valuable. I am ashamed of the person God made me to be. It is so sad. The pressure that teenagers, and it doesn't stop when you get older, totally, how much they hate themselves because they are not beautiful. Maybe that's why we cling to the scriptures like Psalms 139 that says, "For you created me in my innermost being. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful." Wow. Who doesn't want to believe they're fearfully and wonderfully made? And yet, the lies, they attack us. They tell us, don't believe the word of God. You're not beautiful. You are not wonderfully made. So as much as I've had struggles a little bit in my life with I am ugly, I go back to my wonderful teen years and even into my college, it is not the worst lie I've told myself. So I'd like to share you a little bit about my story with the I am less syndrome. See, growing up, I had three older brothers. The next oldest was 4 years, and then 2 years older than him, and then 2 years older than him. And I told myself at some point growing up, I was less than they were. I told myself a long time that I was not gifted because I had one brother who was the most musical, I had one brother who was the most sports-oriented, one brother who was the most athletic, I wasn't the smartest one. I didn't know what I was. I was not, in my mind, better at anything that some other brother didn't have more of. Middle school, high school only encouraged my insecurity in many ways. I tried all types of things like my brothers did. I tried music. I was given a solo one time in band, and I couldn't do it. I have some anxiety. Kept looking at the wrong line to read and could not do it. In sports, I was never much more than a bench warmer. My grades were decent, but not exceptional. And the biggest flaw I saw in myself was I had trouble memorizing things. Still do. The worst class for me to be put in was, okay, teacher lectures, I take notes, and I regurgitate facts on a test. Again, I didn't get terrible grades, but boy, I struggled with this. I'm still weak in games like Trivial Pursuit. I don't retain factual bits of information. Though I have to admit, there are certain things stuck in my brain. I can still tell you who played Ralph Mouth in Happy Days. And there are things like that that I don't know, but I seem to just not be able to take that dumb stuff out of my head and put some actually good stuff in there. College, in many ways, only reinforced the I am stupid identity that I had told myself I was. I volunteered for one kid's master paper or whatever, and he was doing a test on memorization. And he would give you three letters in a row that didn't make a word, just three random letters in a row. And when that three letters popped up, you had to remember, oh, the next three letters after that are this. So when XQY popped up, you know the next word was BST. But, you know, the next, and you would have to keep doing that until you memorize all those series of letters. Well, his chart ran out of markings after a while, because I couldn't get it. So I believed I was less, because in this way, I was dumb. And I have spent the last 30 years of my life trying to change that way of thinking. To see myself as the Word of God tells me I am. But at one point I had learned that God loved me. But I had to learn, was I gifted? Did God believe in me? Could I do something in this life? Did I have something to offer? And I still today struggle with comparing myself to some degree. When I talk to a pastor in a big, large church who's extremely intelligent, I still get intimidated a little bit. So I know I'm not quite there yet. But I'm getting closer. I am getting closer. I was fortunate enough to have a teacher in high school who got me involved in drama and speech my last year of high school. She saw something in me I didn't see. I wonder if I would be a preacher today if she hadn't strongly encouraged me to step out on stage, to act, to talk, to speak. And then I became a born-again Christian after my freshman year in college. And God began to start slowly speaking into my life that I was not who I thought I was. Who the lie I had told myself all these years. And yet, we don't change that mentality quickly. I do have my weaknesses. I do have areas which I struggle remembering certain things. But you know what? It's not about me. It's about God. And God wants to wash off the shame in our life. He wants to wash off the shame. And I don't know if you know this or not, but God is really, really smart. And His Spirit is inside of me. And He's teaching me. And He's teaching me more important things than a series of three letters that don't even make a word. He's teaching me how to grow. He's teaching me wisdom. He's using my story to help others. He would use me to help you to get to zone four. Four, how incredible is that? My friends, don't live in shame. Don't see yourself as less than those around you. God does not see you that way. Have you read the story of Zacchaeus in the Bible? You know, the wee little man? Luke 10. Let me share a little bit of that and intervene here and there. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was. Because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately." Jesus knew everything about Zacchaeus. He knew his name. He knew what he struggled with. He was this hated tax collector who took advantage of his own people for prosperity. And God would know that too. He sees our flaws, and yet he still believes in us. Scripture goes on, I'm going to stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Zacchaeus called out the good in Jesus called out the good in Zacchaeus. He sees our potential. He taps into our gifts. And he uses us. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. And if you see yourself as less today in any way at all, you are still a little bit lost. He changed what the man thought of himself, and you can too. My friends, I had a drama and speech teacher who thought I had something that I didn't know I had. But whether you have a person in your life that spoke those words into you, you've got something even greater than that. You've got the Lord of all creation telling you right now that you are not less. And if you struggled with any way at all, no matter what lie you've told yourself over your years, maybe whether it's I am unlovable, whether I'm stupid, whether I am ugly, and you downgraded yourself as a human being because of those things. And then I'd love for you to move beyond that. And it starts now. It starts today. But you have to make a choice. Don't believe the lie. Believe the Lord. Believe the Lord. We're going to ask the worship team to come forward. They're going to sing a song that we've done a number of times over the last few months. It's a really good song for this topic. And I invite you to sit there and soak it all up. And if you want to, you can come to the altar. You can come to the front pews after the service is over, and we're going to offer someone to pray with you. We're also going to have Befeud showing up in a few minutes, and we'll be setting up in the back, and those of you who want to help with that, I'd appreciate it. But right now, I'm just concerned about you. I just want you to hear God's voice in your life and stop believing the lie. There is a tremendous power in prayer. And I ask you to be praying as we close. And I'm going to close with a group prayer before we offer individual prayer. So let's pray. Lord, we each have wounds in our life. But these wounds are not the real problem. The real problem is, Lord, that we've believed lies about ourselves based on those wounds. We've taken something that wasn't from you and we've established our identity around it. So we come to you now with our self-doubts, feelings of low self-esteem. And we start to see ourselves differently than we have. Even though we are very much still sinners, you see much more in us than we do. So we come to you today asking for a new identity. Lord, we don't want to feel this shame anymore. We want to see ourselves as new creations. Fearfully and wonderfully made. So, Lord, we come to you now. And we ask that you would start to heal us. Help us overcome the lies that we have believed. In your name we pray. Amen.